This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A new number one.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. BlackRock is about to become the largest money manager in the world. Last night, the New York-based company agreed to buy an investment arm of the British bank Barclays. The cash and stock deal is worth $13.5 billion. Reporter Ashley Milne-Tite has more.
The new company will have close to $3 trillion in assets under management. That'll put it ahead of rivals State Street and Fidelity. Everyday investors may not be that familiar with the name BlackRock. The company mainly manages assets for groups like the federal government, sovereign wealth funds, and college endowments. Chris Hughes is with BreakingViews.com. He says the attraction for BlackRock is clear.
It's just the sheer scale of this. I mean, it's not often that you're able to, with a single transaction, create such a huge step up in the size of your business. They're reasonably complementary. I mean, clearly there are going to be some areas of overlap, but it looks like quite a good fit.
After the deal closes, BlackRock will have more than 9,000 employees in 24 countries. As for Barclays, it's been on a mission to raise capital ever since it declined to take part in a UK government bailout last year. The deal also gives Barclays a 20% equity stake in BlackRock. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
There are fewer assets to manage than there used to be. The Federal Reserve yesterday released its report on household net worth. When you add the value of all our homes and bank accounts and investments and then subtract our debt, Americans lost $1.3 trillion in the first quarter, making us now as wealthy as we were in 2004. Today, we're going to find out how much money our elected representatives have lost when the U.S. House releases its latest financial disclosures. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch has that.
Democratic Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi lost at least $100,000 last year when she sold her stock in bailed-out insurance giant AIG. Republican Whip Eric Cantor and his wife had $500,000 invested in Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and other companies getting federal help. Overall, at least 18 members of the House Financial Services Committee held stock in bailed-out firms. Melanie Sloan directs the nonprofit watchdog Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics.
The problem is you wonder if when they're voting to bail those companies out, they're really worried more about their own financial interests than they are about the U.S. taxpayers.
Sloan says congressional rules about financial disclosure and conflict of interest need to be tightened. That said, not everyone in Congress took a financial beating last year. Democrat Barney Frank, chair of the Financial Services Committee, broke even. That's because the liberal politician's portfolio was highly conservative. It consisted mostly of bonds. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Checking stocks now, European markets are slightly lower this morning. Asian markets mostly higher after good economic news from China and the U.S. Yesterday, the S&P 500 added 0.6%. The Dow gained 0.3%, or 32 points, and closed at 8,770. The U.S. House is expected to vote today to put cigarettes under FDA regulation. The Senate passed the measure yesterday. The FDA would crack down on tobacco advertising that targets children. The measure also lets the agency order changes to tar and nicotine content to protect public health.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
This week, the Obama administration announced accelerated stimulus spending that it says will save or create 600,000 jobs in the next 100 days. But how do you calculate that number of jobs? Tamara Keith tries to figure that out by revisiting a stimulus project she first told us about last month. It's the very first road project to start construction as part of the stimulus package, a repaving project on a mile-long stretch of road in suburban Washington, D.C.
About 20 people now working on the New Hampshire Avenue repaving project would be jobless if not for stimulus money. But can workers at the asphalt plant supplying that project count their jobs as a stimulus success, too? This week, dignitaries in suits and hard hats cut through a big red ribbon to mark the official opening of the Independence Construction Materials plant in Jessup, Maryland. The plant is already shipping asphalt to stimulus projects, but it almost wasn't built. Ross Myers is CEO of American Infrastructure, the parent company for the asphalt firm. Last fall, when it became clear the economy was a wreck, he thought hard about putting the plant on hold.
And we decided to go ahead because it was going to provide jobs for our people. And we're happy to say that we actually have quite a nice backlog for it.
And Myers thanks the stimulus money for that backlog. While it only takes 6 people to operate the plant, nearly 100 will be working in the asphalt supply chain. Company executives can't say exactly how many of those jobs are truly stimulus jobs. And therein lies the challenge.
You're getting at exactly the difficulty in my life because I'm the one that's supposed to come up with numbers on that.
Christina Romer is chair of the President's Council of Economic Advisors. She says the administration will receive quarterly reports from agencies about where their stimulus money is going, but they won't include indirect impacts.
They surely won't have information on the sandwich shop where the workers went and got their sandwiches. They won't have information on once you hired these workers and they went out, now had income and went out and bought things. We won't have numbers on that.
But there's no simple formula for calculating that. Peter Morici is an economist at the University of Maryland. Looking at data on government employment and construction jobs, he's just not buying the Obama administration's claims of job creation.
You can find some workers around the country that owe their employment to the stimulus package. 150,000 will be hard to identify, and certainly going forward over the next 100 days, another 600,000, that's going to take some magic to accomplish.
He says the jobs that are created, like those supplying asphalt to stimulus projects, will be temporary. The folks at Independence Construction Materials realize that, but they're hoping the economy picks up before the stimulus work runs out. In Washington, I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
And I'm Bill Radke. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.